Hello, you are listening to Linda Sims. The name of the show is called A Voice of a People. We are live today, the day after Labor Day. I just have to say this before I give you the rest of the information. I have never witnessed a Labor Day like I did yesterday. The storm, because you know, wow. My birthday usually falls on Labor Day, the holiday. Mm-hmm. And it was like, whoa.
Yes, I have an enclosed porch. And whoa. I love to go out there and watch the thunderstorms because I've always liked storms.
Wow.
And it was powerful.
I'm telling you, God had his own, fireworks last night. Yes, he did.
Reminding us of who's in charge.
Yes, he did. Now, let me tell you this. This is WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And like I said, this program is live. Okay, and the name of the show is called A Voice of a People. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device. But when you download that app, TuneIn, search WWGH. Okay, last but not least, option call 740-383-9944. If you would like to be a part of the conversation today with questions or comments, that number again is 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Logos Christian Ministries. Pastor Jackie Peterson, location 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce every third Saturday of every month. And this one starts September the 19th, the time is from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Free produce. If you have no need of it and you know someone who would benefit from it, please let them know that it will be September the 19th at 12 noon, 2 p.m. at Logos Christian Ministries at 582 Lee Street. We have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-262-0939. Last but not least, Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone 740-382-8552. I have to start this show off, which every show I try, with a thought for today. This thought is titled Creating Harmony. Love dissolves hate. Kindness melts cruelty. Compassion calms passion. Cooperation evokes love, and when we bow, others bend. I hope you like that.
That's
Did
good.
You like that?
That's
oh,
good.
Good. Yes, Jeff Porter in the background. He is my guest today, known as the Doomsday Prophet.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Author of Expressions of the Last Days, and hopefully we're going to have a good show today. Good topic.
Oh, sure we will. Maybe we should pray over it.
Oh, my. There's just so much going on, isn't it, Jeff?
Yes.
Yes.
I just wanted to start off by talking about these fires again.
Oh, in California.
Like we were talking about last year.
Right, right.
You know, and saying now on Channel 8, they were talking about, do you know there are over 8 major forest fires going on in the United States right now?
Really?
As big, just about as big as California.
Wow.
And one of them was started off with people playing, shooting fireworks because they were having a gender party. So, and that means they're celebrating what, fortunately, I asked them, what does that mean? And they said that it means they're celebrating whatever gender their kid is. So, it's not a perverted thing.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah.
That's okay, but, you know, you're shooting off fireworks in a dry forest,
Not good.
You might be asking for trouble there.
Not good, is it?
What has happened to common sense, Linda?
I don't know.
Where did it go? It got on its horse and left.
Out the window. It's gone.
Do you know, now we haven't hardly seen any public shootings lately.
Praise God.
So it's like the public shootings took off and the virus took over or something. I don't know. But then we have the virus.
Yes.
And we have all these arguments. I'm in favor of there's an awful lot of deception involved in this. I think some of these news stations are giving us false information a lot of time. Not always. I think some of it's just exaggerated. You know,
could be. I mean, we have no way of telling, really.
No. What I'd like to do is, I know this will never happen, but I would like to do this. I'd like to get a bunch of people, maybe former medical people or people that are already working in the hospitals, to go in there and spy for us and see if there's that many people in there and see if that many people sick.
Wow.
And so on, you know.
Right.
See if the,
right.
the hospitals are as crowded as they say they are, you know. But it seems like when, you know, I'll just bet you anything, a dollar to a donut, that right after election, this virus thing will start dying down because the Democrats and liberals don't want to wear masks any more than anybody else. So. So they'll find some way to shut it down, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I see more people wearing them now than ever before. But we do know this, maybe not the exact number of deaths have come from coronavirus because people do have heart attacks and
right.
diabetes and they die of
right.
other causes, you know. And I don't know what process they go through to determine their cause of death. Usually it takes autopsy to say something like that, right? But we do know that it's real. And we do know that people are still contracting the virus, and we do know that people are still dying. But like I said, the number, no, we
don't
know.
The digits, I think, are purposely deceitful sometimes,
and like
quite often.
One of my guests was saying that they believed that they were using those numbers to receive funds from the government.
Yes.
For their organization or
yes.
for their hospital. Or, you know, whatever the cause may be. So,
yeah.
And
they're
that
paying
may be,
these people.
Yeah, that could be. That could be so.
That's one of the things involved with it. Another thing is the far left, the radical left, I believe is trying to destroy America. The reason why they're trying to destroy America is to bring on the one world system. One world church and one world political system. As in Revelation chapter 13, starting with verse 1.
I don't know why they would want to do that because they really don't.
Because they want to bring on the
implications, though, do they?
They want to bring on the Antichrist.
Oh, he's coming anyway.
Well, but America can't. America has to come down. They'll eventually succeed and bring down America, and then you can't. The Antichrist can't come to power with a big, powerful Christian nation like America.
Well, we do have to understand this. It's prophecy. He's coming.
It's going to happen regardless.
Yes, and
that's
God's
right.
going to use something or many things to bring him.
Right,
you know,
and it seems like a lot of things are happening.
Yes, all at once.
To cause. Now, I sit there and I grieve over America because I love this country. I totally love it. There's nothing like it in the world.
Right.
You know, and I've been to other countries, and believe me, no place else I'd rather be. And I was in the military, you know, and I don't want to believe it was for nothing.
Right.
But, and I know a lot of guys in the military feel that way. Just
right.
feel very heartbroken that America is just about, you know, it's really, really reeling on the edge right now, you know. And, and I said, well, you know, I was talking to an assistant pastor the other, like Sunday, I think it was. Well, I sometimes go to Steve Dakota's for their special on steak on Sundays.
Okay.
And I ran into him, and he was talking about that. And I said, well, you know the reason why we're having economic distress, and we're having riots, and we're having fires, and we're having bad weather. And I said, it's too much sin. That's the bottom line.
That's the main cause.
Yes. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you are. God takes a dim view of too much sin, especially the kind of sin we have in America anymore. It's horrible.
But it's worldwide.
Yes, that's true. It is. That's true. It is
worldwide. Because what a person see one other person do or country, then they want to do it too.
Yeah.
You know, not thinking of the implications.
No.
Like covetous, like we were talking at the last show, covetous is the seed of all sin.
But I think America is more guilty.
Do you?
Because they have known the Savior.
Right.
And they have fallen away, and that's a lot worse.
True.
They've known the truth, and they have rejected it and kicked it out the door.
Right.
And now they're in seven times worse, the Bible says, as a dog turns back to his vomit.
Right.
So we're facing severe judgment because God said you knew the truth and you know the truth.
Right.
And you don't want it. You want your sin worse. You think it's more fun to play with your flesh than it is to follow God.
Ooh,
you know.
That flesh is a monster, isn't it? It has
yes,
its
it is.
Own mind.
It wants to take over.
It has its own mind. And how many of us have fallen to the urges
yes.
of the flesh?
Well, I was an atheist before I got saved.
Right.
But I was searching for truth.
Right.
So that's how I ended up getting saved. And I haven't been no angel.
I'm
you know,
sure.
I'd like to believe, well, maybe. But I think I sold my halo at a garage sale. So I'm not sure what I did with that.
Okay.
But the bottom line is like Jesus said, you know, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish.
Amen.
You know? And people say, well, can't, you know, that's too negative. You're not supposed to talk negative stuff. Am I wrong talking that stuff?
I'm glad you brought that up because I did hear that somebody wanted to debate with you and I'm going to have to set up this show.
Oh, okay.
Because they think that you are too negative because there are some people trying to do what's right. Young people trying to get married and start a family. And if they think it sounds more like the world is going to end this very moment...
Mm-hmm.
Per Jeff Porter. And so they're kind of like saying, come on, give people a break, Jeff.
Well, I will give them a break when they start walking with the Lord. When the majority of America starts walking with the Lord, it starts praying and going to church and singing praises to God and all that good stuff. There's a few, but there's not enough. And we also have the problem with the church itself.
True.
The church has fallen away. And the church is the only hope that this country has. You know? And they've fallen away into false doctrine. And the reason why is because... And it's the prosperity doctrine that's the biggest culprit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what does it say? Perpetual health and perpetual wealth is what it preaches.
Right.
And Linda, I've tried to tell people every way I can to tell them about how it's false and how we need to repent of it and get rid of it, and it's like they're asleep. You know, I say, did you listen? You know, I propose that you listen to Christianity in Crisis, the audiobook, and that you analyze that and look up the scriptures, but mostly if you just listen to the audiobook, Christianity in Crisis by Hank Anagraff. You'll find out that there, for one thing, the thing that irritates me most about the false prophets is something like, for instance, Kenneth Copeland said, you don't have a God in you, you are one. If you're a Christian, you're a God. That's what he says. And I have run into people in my own church that believe they're gods because of the prosperity movement. See, a lot of times people don't hear that when they're watching some of these prosperity preachers, they don't hear him saying that, but it's there, you know. And they believe that Satan can turn off God's light. Now, I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but I've heard prosperity teachers say that. If God doesn't, God has to follow his promises and has to fulfill his promises. If he doesn't, then the devil can turn off his lights. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but it doesn't sound good.
No,
it sounds rather blasphemous to me.
Yeah, like he's more powerful than God, and he is not.
That's right. That's exactly what the prosperity teachers are trying to
teach. You see, the devil has to answer to God.
Yes.
And God uses him for what he wants accomplished.
And devil is going to the lake of fire in the end.
Right.
He's under judgment. But they've tried to say that, you know, okay, after Jesus died on the cross, they're trying to say he went to hell. And he went to hell and he took the keys to death and hell. When Jesus talks about, I have the keys to death and hell, he's not talking about a big key that you can hold in your hand.
Right.
He's talking about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No yes. man comes unto the Father but by me.
Right. He has authority over those
things. So he
things.
Is the
yes.
key to heaven.
Yes, he is.
And he has the keys to death and hell. He can open up hell or shut up hell if mm-hmm. he wants to. He can mm-hmm. do anything he wants.
Right.
He's God.
And people have to understand, he always had that power, except it was given to Adam when he created Adam, and Adam forfeited it to Satan by sinning and eating the fruit, him and Eve. So God always had that power over death, hell, and
oh,
the
well,
grave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one time Benny Hinn said, because we have dominion mm-hmm. over the animals, that Adam could fly. You know, he could fly. And if he wanted to, he could fly all the way to the moon.
Now, I don't know, because the scripture says that God walked in the garden with Adam every day.
Yeah. But I don't think he could fly.
I don't think so. Some people really get out there far-fetched, I think.
They stretch things. way big. And I said, well, if Adam could fly to the moon, I remember people talking to me, I remember when he said that, then he wouldn't he need a spacesuit? Because there ain't no air up there. So, okay.
Well.
So what I get is, and I'm still there trying to do that, because that's where God wants me, is to teach people to get away from the prosperity movement. I don't sometimes don't say it really right again. I'd be like President Trump sometimes. I don't say things right to people, and they get offended because I'm too straightforward.
Yeah.
You know, and I ran into that in some small groups, you know, where I get so mad because I hate false doctrine so much because mm-hmm. I've had it attack me before, you know.
Oh, of course.
You know, and so I'm passionate about it is really what it is. But I had this guy one time. I left church early because I was a little bit mad about what something the pastor was preaching about.
When?
Long time ago.
Okay.
And so I got up and left early. I thought it was best that I get up and leave early before I said something. And I got home and somebody called me from church that I know, one of the guys that I know from Circle of Champions, and said, I noticed you got up and left early. You're not leaving the church, are you? And I said, no, I'm not sure. Thought about it for a second. And we got talking, and he admitted that he believes he's a god. So I said, I tried different things, like, you know, well, you would know, if you were a god, wouldn't you know my social security number? Wouldn't you know my mother's maiden name? Stuff like that. That didn't seem to affect him. So I said, what about Isaiah 43:10? Behold, I am God. There is no God formed before me. Neither
oh, yeah,
shall there
absolutely.
Be any formed after me. He said, well, yeah. So he said that he stopped believing you was a God there. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody's been believing something like that for years, I don't think they're going to give it up in 5 minutes.
I don't think it means the big G. I think it means more like little G's.
That's what they're trying to say. They're little gods.
Made in his image and likeness, because, you know, there are two scriptures. I think one is Psalms 82. And even Jesus brings it back. And he says, haven't you heard that I said, or something like that, ye are gods? So they're basing it on those two scriptures.
I believe he is being very sarcastic there.
you believe that the Lord is being sarcastic by saying that?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
He told Moses, he said, when I send you out, you're going to be a god to these people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that didn't mean he could throw thunderbolts from his hands.
No.
You see, only under you got to be very careful about
yes, you
calling
do.
Yourself
yes, you
a
do.
God.
Yes, you do. Only under the authorization of God himself, because you know
what? What about Isaiah 43? There was no God formed before me, neither shall there be any formed after me.
Well, he doesn't mean that we're him. Of course not. We're not him.
Not equal to him.
No, not equal to him. No. Only if he gives us authority under his jurisdiction or whatever. Because, no, Moses just couldn't go do that unless he says, well, you go to Pharaoh, or you go out there and I'll stretch your arms, and you cast that staff on the sea. And he's in. You know, it
Moses
was
can't part the Red Sea.
No,
but if
it turned to blood, remember?
I also told him to hold up his staff and the Red Sea would part.
But
only, Moses can't do any of that.
Right, and it was only under his jurisdiction.
Right.
Right, or under God's say-so could he do that.
So God gets the glory.
He better. He better get the glory.
All right. Let me go to...
Because someone said today, well, we got this, you know. I said, no, we don't got nothing.
No.
God's got this. Because who am I without him? I'm nothing. What can I do without him? Nothing. Right?
Yeah, can I borrow my...
Your glasses back.
Might have known I'd need them. Usually I don't.
I'm finished. But, yeah, and, you know, like after that, oh, wow, the display of God's power, you know, it made me think of that plague of the hailstones.
During Exodus?
Yeah, because you know I'm watching it, right?
Do you like, you still liking that series as much?
Well, you know, they had to show off, yesterday, Pharaoh told Moses, if you come back here again, I'm going to kill you. You know, he says that, you know, just before his son, the firstborn of Israel, of Egypt, dies. And I'm like, oh, my, here we go, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think I would have gave it up after the first couple miracles there.
And they just went through the darkness.
Yeah.
The darkness was so thick that they could touch it, and Pharaoh puts his hand in the darkness, and his hand completely disappears.
And it's going to do that again during the time of Antichrist.
And that's what people are saying. Okay, these same plagues, I think it's seven in Revelation, are coming back.
Yeah.
The water to blood. The
yeah,
frogs.
All of them. Isaiah 43:10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant in whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any formed after me. Okay. Isaiah 44. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no God.
Then you got Psalms 82 that says what? But he's saying the big God. He's not talking about man whom he created in his own image and likeness.
Psalms 83, was it?
Yeah, I think so. It's 82 or 83. Haven't I said that ye are gods? And then that takes you to Matthew. See, I left my phone in the car. Kind of upset about that. But yeah. Because people want to hear some good news, Jeff.
I'm not usually a big encourager. I'm mostly a warning person. Giving you strong warning, which is something that nobody wants to do.
And even... I kind of look at it like this. Even though we can say something good, you know... which is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will be saved. I like to say that, and that is very good news, whether you're getting married or you're doing things the right way, you're holding yourself until you get married, you're as honest as you can be, because, see, works will not get you in heaven.
Not even everyone your diet. Just saying to me, Lord, Lord.
Right. Even if you don't eat pork or don't eat... lobster, you understand what I'm saying, or crab legs.
Saved by grace.
That will not get you in heaven, because you're what, Jeff?
Aren't
saved by grace.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace you are saved, and by faith, and not by works. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast.
Right. It is the gift of God.
That's right. So you can't earn it.
No.
The only thing you can do is believe.
That's right.
And he says, like I said, I repeat Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Amen.
And so I believe that we're going to have to go through the tribulation. That's another reason why people call me
I know.
The Doomsday Prophet.
And they're on there now. Someone was on Christ in Prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, no, the church will be gone because they have looked up the word snatched away or caught up, raptured. And it's saying that in the Greek, we're not going to be here. And it says, and I read, was it 1 Thessalonians 5? God has not given, God has not turned us over to wrath. But, you know, there's man's wrath, there's Satan's wrath.
That's right.
And there's God's wrath. So which wrath is God talking about that he has not called us to? Because the worst wrath I can think of is God's wrath.
Yeah, because there are people overseas right now, as I have emphasized many times over, that that face death every day and persecution every day. And that's man's wrath. Well, it's
that's true.
Satan,
I got you.
Satan,
I got you.
You know, inspires it.
Right.
But, you know, and you run into that here, but it's more of an emotional thing here. You know, all of a sudden some weird thing will happen. Somebody snap at you or try to put a roadblock up in front of you. And it can be very, very discouraging and make you want to quit and all that. That's Satan, you know, doing that stuff.
Yeah, but man's wrath and Satan's wrath is different. I think Satan's wrath is going to be the Antichrist.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
because
but he's got his
embody
demons.
Him.
I say Satan, but I mean Satan and his whole...
Right, the imps and demons.
One-third of the angels
right.
that followed him.
And the angels, absolutely.
And so the demons are always conspiring to discourage you here in
mm-hmm,
America,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he probably manages to kill a few Christians with persecution. Somebody decides to kill them, but not very often. It's usually just a trying to discourage you from and make you walk away from the Lord.
Right.
That's what they want to do, you know. Get you involved in a bunch of sin so that you become discouraged or, you know, the temptation and all that. And then also just putting roadblocks up, you know, if you're trying to. So many times I've come under these surprise attacks. And I know Christians all experience this, you know. It just so many satanic attacks that day, you just like feel like you've been pounded over the head, you know.
Right, I understand.
And God always comes along with a bunch of encouragement.
Yes.
You know, and brings you back and everything and tells you, you know, everything's going to be all right. But, well, okay, you've got me here that people don't like it because I talk about doomsday, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many preachers and teachers and evangelists out there preach the goody-goody stuff all the time, the grace stuff all the time? So one person comes along and says, I believe that judgment is approaching. Oh, we can't have that.
But, you know, you're not the only one. That's the thing. They're not hearing all the other ministers because everyone has a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And yours is doomsday or the last days. Somebody, like you said, prosperity, you know, and then you have the gift of prophecy. What is it? Helps. The fivefold ministry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fivefold ministry. So everybody has their own expertise that God has gifted them with, right?
Right.
Right. So yours is expressions of the last days.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gift
for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part.
Sometimes God changes that. But Satan has managed to blind the minds and the eyes of the world out here, and they're walking through good darkness. And they need somebody to say, whoa.
Stop.
Where are you going? You're on the wrong path.
Right.
Get over here on this one.
Right. And the thing that gets me, what happened to cry loud and spare not?
Yeah.
That's in the scripture.
You know, I'm not here to win a popularity contest.
Right.
I'm not here to pat somebody on the back and say, oh, it's going to be all right, little baby. We need to grow up as Christians and say, sometimes God gives us encouragement over here. Sometimes he gives us a warning, gives us a big spanking.
Yes.
You know, tries to do something to get you back on the right path again.
Right.
And that's what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm trying to say, America, you're in trouble. You're in serious trouble.
Why don't we know that right now? Why don't we know that? Why don't we see it? Why don't we feel it?
Well, for one thing, like I said, wrong preaching. That has been a big, big problem, you know. And the prosperity doctrine, has taught people that you're supposed to walk in perpetual health and perpetual wealth all the time because that's what the gospel says. That's not what the gospel says. Sit down and read it, especially like the book of Acts where Paul is... He's whipped and beaten, and remember when he went to a city, he came in and they stoned him.
Yeah.
And he came back out and he passed out in front of his friends, and then he got back up. He said, God gave him the strength to go back.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, gave him the strength to go back. I said, I don't know how Paul, you know, it was, of course, God giving Paul the strength,
the
you know.
Strength.
He was a very educated man. People found
courageous.
It very difficult to argue with, you
he
know.
Was bold and courageous.
Yes,
man.
Because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, and he was killing Christians. People.
Yeah.
Some people may not understand that he was out killing Christians.
That's right. That's right.
God knocked him off that horse. Oh, I can use you.
Yeah. Well, see,
you're bold enough.
My
I
thoughts
can
are
use
not
you.
Your thoughts.
Right. Right.
You know, so we think, you know, and I do the same thing. I could judge somebody, you know, when that you see an evil person out there, he's been arrested for bank robbery and selling drugs or whatever it is that his problem is, you know, selling prostitutes and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden he gets saved and God gets him out of prison. And those are the kind of guys that really win souls.
Oh, yeah.
After
oh,
that, because
yeah.
they're really, really on
the
fire.
Testimony.
Yeah, with
it's
their testimony.
Testimony.
And see,
know.
This guy over here that's been bad and been in darkness and everything, he sees this guy over here that got saved and got turned around. He says, I want that. Well, yeah.
Yes, and we must live our lives in a way that people desire what is in us.
That's right.
Right? Because if our life is not a testimony, who wants to be in drudgery or hate or, you know, won't smile or won't speak to people or, you know, just like
yeah.
we were saying, nose all up in the air,
yeah.
you don't see anybody around. Who wants to have a part of that?
And how long have we had a Christianity like that?
Oh, a long
Do you
time.
Think, you know, if you were walking down the street and you're at the, your wits end and you're at the bottom of the barrel, you know, drug addiction and you got people after you that want to kill you and you walk by this big churches, you know, with the big bells in them and stuff, you know instinctively that you can't go in there
right.
and get it, go up to the altar and say, I am messed up, please, God help me. What do you think those people would do?
You know, that did happen at our church one time, and because someone was having a program, they didn't even take the time to address the person God sent through the
yes.
door.
Yes.
We are so busy on our, with our own agenda in God's
yes.
house. We don't have time.
Who is my neighbor?
Right. We don't have time for those who need him.
Yes.
He sent it. That person with the Holy Ghost already on them.
Yes.
Brought them.
Yes.
They wouldn't even stop the program.
Yeah.
To deal with it. Or at least one deal with it. Take them and...
At least one person.
Tarry with them or whatever. No. They ended up going to another church. And someone talked to him, took the time, talked to him and all that. And you could hear him speaking in tongues and all that. Hey.
I know.
Are we so
that
busy?
That happens.
Are we so busy? As
that's
Christians,
what, well,
we
that was the story of the neighbor.
Right,
you know?
Right. That's true. They were busy. Right. Who is
right,
your neighbor?
You know, the guy gets beat up of all these marauders and stuff and then... A pastor walks by and goes, well, I would help him, but I got to go to my, you know, right. my next meeting.
Right, right.
I am so tired of that.
What, the meetings?
Some people, you can't even talk to them. They're so busy with meetings.
That's true. That's true.
And I think a lot of these pastors, they've been hurt, and they put up walls, and there's no reaching them, you know.
And they... I'm not going to say lack, but they do not go forward with the Great Commission.
Yeah.
That is what's important above all things, is that we be attentive to those
you can
who
go from,
God is calling.
You can go from one meeting to another and accomplish nothing.
Yeah, I do it all the time. Sometimes 2 or 3 a week. I'm here and there and everywhere.
Yeah.
But that's why.
But, you know, someday you may wake up, Linda, someday, and God says, Linda, I want you to go to Egypt.
Would you want
him to do that?
Yeah.
Well, I want you to go to Japan. You know?
I don't know if I want to go there, but I guess I'd have to. Because if he tell me to go, I'm sure he's already...
Well, if God calls you to somewhere, he gives you the desire, he gives you the resources.
Oh, yeah.
Everything, you know.
Yeah. He'd
to
open
get
the
you
door.
To understand that... like that book I was highly recommending, Experiencing God.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that were called of God to go to Egypt and all these different places, Russia, wherever. And they didn't. They said, no, I'm going to go live the American dream here. I'm going to build me a big house. They're like an engineer or something, you know.
Right, right.
Build me a big house with a big swimming pool and jacuzzi and all that stuff and 2 stories and have a bunch of babies. And then later on, God comes back in years later and says, didn't I ask you to go to Egypt? It's time to go again. And you know what? They packed up, they went, and they accomplished everything that God still wanted them to do. I think that was a great story.
It is a great story.
But and it, just because you messed up one time doesn't mean that God still can't use you.
Can't use you. Right.
You know.
Right. Look how upset he got with Moses, because Moses kept complaining about his speech. And
yeah.
He couldn't really talk. And God really got kind of angry
with
him
did.
About that, you know.
He did.
He said, well, who made your mouth?
Yeah.
That you can speak.
If you got to have somebody, I'll bring Aaron along.
Right.
Then. Fine.
Your brother, I'll bring him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Moses just couldn't get that, you know, in his thinking.
And he had a bad temper.
Yeah.
So, you know, these people that God calls to do these things, you can't say to God, well, I'm not perfect. Sorry, no, I never called a perfect person.
So he knows that, right?
Yeah.
He never made
He'll
one
He'll put
either.
You through the wilderness long enough to get rid of most of the majority of junk in us.
Yes.
But there's still usually, there's always something left over, you know.
So what do you think about this election? Do you think it's going to be fair? Well, does the scripture give us any hint as far as what's going to happen through that?
With this election
specifically? Well, they say it's one of the... it's pivotal. It's going to be one of the most important elections we will ever have.
I think it is. I think it is.
I
think if Biden gets in there, we're finished.
I think...
We're going to end up under socialism.
I can't say total socialism because we already got somewhat... Socialism,
yeah, we do.
All right.
Well, I was talking about the NSA doing electronic surveillance on people. And I, you know, it's very possible. I'm not saying absolutely, but I do believe that the government might be able to track us through our cell phones.
Well, they can already do that.
Yeah.
That,
you know.
That won't be nothing new.
No.
But what I've heard is no matter who gets office, great evils are going to rise because we are right here in this mode of expressions of the last days.
Yeah.
Which you've been preaching. So,
in fact, you know, it's hard to say what God will allow.
Oh,
he may allow the United States to collapse very soon.
That's true.
You know,
I
guess
like
I'm not supposed to say that, though. That's negative.
Because we're teetering, right? We're teetering right now.
Right now, America is listing, you know, to one side.
Yeah, we're teetering.
And saying, you know, and you say, well, how did all these weird people get in our government? Because Satan's been brainwashing people that they have to be politically correct all the time. And you got to accept this and you got to accept that, stuff that we didn't have to accept. You know, so now we're in serious trouble, you know.
And we have to also understand that the United States was built upon the foundations of the Word of God.
That's right.
You know.
And so Satan's going to try to tear it down.
And it is being torn down.
Yes.
Because we've gotten so far away from the things of God. Even, like you say, even in the churches, we're falling away.
Well, look at Israel.
The great apostasy, right?
Oh, gosh.
We're living it.
That, you know, and I can't stop talking about the apostasy because it's so immensely devastating. And it's the one thing that's allowing all this other stuff to happen. Because the church is apostate, it's not going to stand up against all this evil. It's not going to speak against it.
That's true.
that's just going to stand up and go, oh, well, let's just all love one another. And, you know, that's what it needs is more love.
And we do need more young people.
Yes.
We need more young people who will stand for Christ and the laws, the commandments, and statutes of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need young people to reach their own generation.
But I believe that we're going to have a big revival of young people.
I'm sure hoping so.
I think that the revival it's talked about in Acts chapter 2 starts with the young people.
It has to. Because they're saying we have two generations that are lost. They're unbibled, unchurched. They yes. do not know God.
Yeah, and if they have any church, it's been false.
Right.
What are you going to do with a false church that is trying to run the country through a false church? How are we going to do that? And I try, you know, when I try to tell people about what's wrong with prosperity, I tell so many people, you know, you need to listen to Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis, because when I say we're in crisis, we're in crisis, you know?
Yeah.
And it's starting to show, like, well, we have this virus. Well, all of a sudden, the perpetual health and perpetual wealth thing went out the window, see? And they're saying, well, yeah. How's come this doesn't work now? You know? Did you know Kenneth Copeland got booted out of TBN?
Did he?
Yeah. He was telling people he could boot, you know, get rid of the virus by doing this and that, you know, confessing.
Oh, so that's why he has his own station now.
Yeah. It isn't going to hurt him that much. I mean, he's probably a billionaire, you know.
Yes, he is. He has
his own
station.
But TBN said they didn't want him anymore because he was bragging that he could destroy the virus, you know.
Oh, no.
So they booted him out.
Oh, my.
I'm sure it didn't bother him at all.
Not financially, no.
No.
And he stands up for his prosperity message.
Yes, he does.
I saw that, too, on Facebook. Someone was interviewing him. The news.
Yeah.
And he's not intimidated. He stands up for his prosperity, you know. God has blessed him with that money, and he's going to use it.
Yeah.
To God's glory, he says. So, hopefully so. But we are in the day, I put it like that, D-A-Y, of great upheaval, great storms, great fires, great falling away, nation against nation, kingdom against
kingdom. I think we're living
in
the most exciting times in history.
It is exciting.
It really is, because when God comes along and says, okay, I need you.
Yes.
I want you.
Yes.
Like that old World War II poster.
Right, Uncle Sam,
yeah,
yes.
I want you.
Wow. It is exciting. I mean, it's...
I think
what are you
going to
do with it?
We're going to have the greatest miracles. But I think it's going to be just like the Tale of Two Cities. They were the best of times.
And the worst
of times. They were the worst of times.
Oh, yeah. Well, it can be both.
Yeah.
And it will be both.
Yeah.
I believe that. It will be both. So, coronavirus, 911. Like you said, that was a strong message. Strong warning that came.
Yes.
And still we fell farther and farther away from where we
should
be.
I don't see people wanting to repent and come to God and get on their knees and say, Lord, please forgive me so we can get rid of this virus or anything. I don't see anybody doing that.
And that storm we had last night, it was like, oh, my. For Marion.
The Lord is not well pleased.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
I don't believe he is, and I don't think I should go around saying that he is.
No, because I thought all cookouts and all that was going on or should have been going on. And usually around my birthday, Labor Day is the last day for the swimming pool.
What did Jesus say? As in the days of Noah, what were they doing? Eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Probably bartering, probably having, you know, yard sales. You know,
and a lot of people did. A lot of people had their yard sale
and they just totally ignored anything that's brought up about God. Oh, get that religion away from me. You know, get that. I don't need none of their religious hypocrisy. Get it away from me.
Wow.
And you say to them, when I used to hand out tracts, people would say that all the time. And I'd say, try not to think about the church or people or anything like that. Think about God.
Yeah.
What does God want? What is God thinking?
Right.
You know, are we making him happy? And
well,
you got to make a decision whether you're going to make him happy or yourself happy.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's in control. Hey, he alone is on the throne.
That's right.
Okay. He sits high and he looks low upon the inhabitants of the earth. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Woo! I tell you, Jeff.
Well, that's why I say I'm a
lock
person
and load,
that gives warning.
And lock and load.
Yeah.
Put your seatbelts on. Right.
Because, and that's not to say God won't protect us. He will.
Of
believe
course.
It. Absolutely, He will protect us.
I believe that.
But, you know, if people want to believe in pre-tribulation rapture, we don't have to be here. We don't have to face any pain or sorrow or tribulation or any problems whatsoever.
But we are.
Sit there in heaven and wait for it to end so we can come back with Jesus. And, you know, and maybe your brand new Chevy Cruze or something, then go ahead and believe that if you want to. I don't think it's going to benefit you.
Well,
but if you want to believe it, go ahead.
And we have said this too. People die every day.
Yeah.
People are living longer and dying younger every day. And by huge numbers. I can't say where there's more now than it was last year or year before, but it just seems to be. Like more celebrities and just people you know and friends and family, it seems to be what we would consider biblical proportions that people are leaving the world. So,
yeah,
like the one study, the guy that was at our church was saying, like, people die, that's like a rapture too when people leave this world. Okay, so and he talked about seven raptures now.
I know who you're talking
about.
Yeah,
that's kind of hard to wrap your head around, but.
Activity rapture.
Yeah, like Christ was raptured and who else?
Well, he was talking about all the people that left the world while they were still alive.
Right.
Enoch, especially.
Yeah.
You know, so. But those people, that's not the rapture that we're talking about.
One.
We're talking about a great taking out, a great snatching away of true believers before the time of tribulation hits.
We are out of time. That time went so fast. Don't forget to vote November 3rd, 2020, general election. Early person voting starts October the 6th, okay? Absentee ballots, get them in the mail. You have been listening to Linda Sims here on The Voice of a People, WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Thank you, Jeff, for coming and sharing with the people. And hopefully you enjoyed our show. Times are really going fast, and there's a lot to get into a program nowadays.
Yes.
So next time, be blessed and be safe, okay? Wear your mask. Keep your hands clean. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And be safe. The next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk.
When we're joined, this is great pride and privilege for the first time by Joy Behar. You told a story on The Tonight Show after you left The View with Jay Leno that Barbara had threatened to fire you at one point.
No, she did fire me.
She didn't threaten to fire me. She fired you.
Yeah, she told me she was not renewing my contract. I spilled the beans inadvertently about Rosie O'Donnell coming on the show to the press, and Barbara was about to announce it on the Emmys, and she had a fit, and she was furious with me, and she fired me. She said, "I'm not renewing your contract," on the phone. I was like, "Well, it was a mistake," and she said, "It was a big mistake." And then she took it back in like a half an hour.
When I typed in your name last night, something came up from your appearance on The View on Tuesday, I think it was.
Yeah.
Snooki was on, I guess.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, and I
think... Not when I was there.
One day this week, I think she was on. And she gave a quote to one of the...